The 1921 Race Riot Commission in 1997, you were involved with that. What was its purpose?
Well, actually, that was a platform for Representative Ross, because when he ran for office and had listed the things that he wanted to accomplish on his political agenda, that was one of them. Because when he learned anything about the massacre, he was a student. He said, well, we'll do a study. We'll develop a commission, however he wanted to do it. And so I was the Senate author over on the Senate side. But actually, we wouldn't be even having this conversation even now had it not been for him, because he was the one who brought it to light. And that's when the commission started doing a study, and then got a chance to talk to all of these people who wouldn't even have talked about it many years ago. We do have their documented in their own words, their stories. Yeah. And as we moved forward, the study was done to not only bring attention to what had happened, but also to talking about the mass graves and so forth. Right. This is where it really started. It started with him.
We're sitting here in the Oklahoma Cultural Center, and in this room, lining the walls are pictures of survivors, and there's a little description there of them, how old they were. Some have memories and others don't, but it's all lining the room. 25 or 30 of them that are survivors that I'm looking at as we are talking about this. Did your parents talk in the family about
this? They didn't, and that was the thing. I don't know whether there was fear that it could happen again. Even from the survivors, when you would talk to them, it was like pulling teeth when we introduced the study. And then they began to really become involved, when I say they, the survivors, and talk about what had happened. I think as a kid when I was growing up, if you'd ask the question, even later, I think as a teen or something, they would say, oh, let bygones be bygones. So it was really never discussed, just never discussed. And I think W.D. Williams, because his people had so much property in the area, and then, of course, he was a survivor himself with his family, he would talk about it. And this is when Don Ross said, that couldn't be. I mean, I never heard that before. And he even says that he had survivors from his own family. So even in his own family, they didn't talk about it. The only thing that I can just assume is that at the time, and as horrific as that was, if we get past this, hopefully it'll never happen again, so let's just don't talk about it.
W.D. Williams, again, he was?
He was a teacher at Booker T. Washington High School.
So did they teach it when you were at Booker T.?
No, no.
Didn't talk about it?
Never, no. And many of his photos from the Williams family, and his daughter was Dr. Anita Christopher. Some of those photos are even in the Smithsonian African American Museum now, but he had a collection of photos.
Some of the points of his purpose: direct payment of reparations to survivors of the massacre. Today, that hasn't happened. Direct payment of reparations to descendants. A scholarship fund available to students affected by the massacre. Did that happen?
That was led by John Gabarino. That's when he was with the chamber. I don't know what the status of the scholarship is, but that was available because they did have students participating, writing essays or whatever to try to qualify for a scholarship.
An establishment of an economic development enterprise zone in the historic area of the Greenwood District. I don't know if that happened or not.
I think that's a zero.
And then a memorial for the reburial of the remains of the victims of the Tulsa massacre. There is a memorial now.
There is. That was one of the things out of the study, the Reconciliation Park over there, and the sculptor.
John Hope Franklin, Reconciliation Park. We should say, currently, there was talk about the mass graves. They are now revisiting areas, or areas had never been visited, about possible mass graves.
Right.
Our present mayor, G.T. Bynum, directed that. I think they made one search. They're using today technology that they never had way back when.
I'm serving as chair of that particular oversight committee. The charge from the mayor's office to focus initially on the three sites, New Block, Oak Lawn, and the cemetery at, I guess it's called Rolling Hills, but in the day it was called Booker T. Washington. Those three sites was the charge from the mayor. And, of course, Councilor Hall Harper, as well as the mayor, said we want to pick up. It was incomplete when the state finished its commission report, or some things were not achieved. We will go further and visit these sites. That is taking place. In fact, we're looking to have a report in December, the findings from those sites that they have gone in to see. And then also you have people with expertise that deal with the historical aspect of it. They've got to also discover, too, whether some of this was actually 1921 or was this something that could have happened later on. Then you have some of the Native Americans who are saying we want to be very sensitive of the grounds because we want to make sure our tribal grounds are not being included in this. And so there's people of expertise that are moving in that direction to come with some kind of resolve.
Just think, this happened in 1921, and here we are in the year 2019, and we're still very, very much dealing with this. The official count of those who died ranges from 36 to approximately 300. Over 1,000 residents burned, another 400 looted. You know, I've talked in another interview, Reuben Gant. I asked him, what would Tulsa be like if the race massacre had not happened? His immediate response was all the families who left and went to Chicago and other places who were very successful, and chances are they would have still been here, their families would have been here. So we lost that kind of expertise.
Yeah, we did.
Right.
We did, because many of those people, some that you read about, went on to achieve professional careers fleeing from Tulsa. I think one of them being the Stout family out of Chicago. I think he was a judge in that area. You know, some could have gone to California, but some of the areas that they did go to, like Chicago, was, I guess, closer than California. But I think I would be in agreement that as successful as they were, even in a segregated community, there wouldn't have been a reason for them to leave.
No. You know, in 97, this became more of a talk of the area. I remember talking to people who were in their 50s and 60s, and they were just learning about it.
Yeah.
Never talked about it in high school. I didn't know that.
Well, one of the commission members who was a legislator, senator, he said, I'm a history teacher. And he said, I never knew anything about it. And I was looking at The Watchman that appeared here a couple of weeks ago, the very first episode. One of the comments of a radio commentator, she said, I consider myself a complete 100% history buff. And she said, this is what I do, the research and all this. She said, I had never heard of this until she saw that opening of that plane flying over Greenwood, destroying the area. So that has been a lot of talk. And I believe that the guy that's playing in that segment, Tim Nelson, I believe that's Ruth Kaiser Nelson's son or relative, I think. But he's involved in that segment.
It's HBO,
right.
I believe,
is
it?
Yeah,
is
it
right
is.
Now.